Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 16. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold, and I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Those are the words of Jesus, our Lord. I think the image of the Good Shepherd is my personal favorite image of Jesus. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think a lot of other people really connect with Jesus as shepherd. Maybe even some of you have that image where it's just kind of your favorite thing. For centuries, artists have been portraying the Great Shepherd in their art. If you look up in Google, go Google Images, and just look up the Good Shepherd, you will see so many images that people have painted or drawn, and they're so unique and so amazing and beautiful. The oldest images found were found in Rome, and they date back to 200 AD. So even then, this image of Jesus as shepherd was profound. And I think one reason that it is that popular is because it's very relatable, especially in ancient times where the people understood shepherds and flocks and they were all around them, and some of them as children had probably been out in the fields. So they understood that imagery. But even to us modern people, it's not so far off that we can't figure it out, right? The imagery isn't so foreign to us that we can't relate. And so this Bible passage of the Good Shepherd and the Psalm 23, which the choir has sung so beautifully, are pieces of scripture that help to fill out and shape up this image. Now, biblical scholars believe that this Psalm 23, this poem or this lyric, was written about 1000 BC, while David was a king. And so it seems as though King David would have been looking back over his experience, because he started as a shepherd, but saw God shepherding him all throughout his life. And the psalm is very personal. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not a shepherd. He doesn't even say the Lord is the good shepherd. It's too personal for that even. It's my shepherd. It speaks to the intimate relationship that Jesus wants with his sheep. Jesus said, I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. And that is the ultimate in personal, because Jesus and the Father were as one. So does Jesus desire that oneness with us? This is Jesus' prayer found in John 17. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. So that's us. We believe because of the message of the disciples. And so this is Jesus' prayer for us. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. This is what the Good Shepherd desires of his sheep, this oneness and intimacy. And being in the Good Shepherd's flock is the most amazing place to be. And David shows us that in Psalm 23. I shall not want. Or depending on the translation, I lack nothing. Or my personal favorite, I have all that I need. In a world that pushes us into materialism, into haves and have-nots, into mistaking our identity with what we own, there is Jesus, who says, I am all you need. If I have Jesus, there is nothing more that I need, because he is my provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still, quiet waters. This speaks about provision. Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is Jesus, and all these things shall be added to you. When you have Jesus, you have all that you need. And beyond the gifts of provision, David adds this most remarkable line, he restores my soul. Restores means to reestablish, to bring back to wholeness. Isaiah 53:6, which is a chapter all about the Messiah, says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus said, I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Our soul is restored from its rebellious ways. It is made whole like it was in the garden before the fall of man because of Jesus' finished work. Because he laid down his life. And to keep us in this place of being restored, the psalm continues and says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me along the right paths. He shows me the way to go and lights the path for me so that his name will be honored and so that the world will believe. Even when those right paths go through difficult times, David proclaims, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It is only a shadow, because Christ's own do not die, but are transformed into our eternal bodies. But to have a shadow, there must be a source of light. Otherwise, it's just darkness. And it doesn't say that I walk through the valley of darkness. We know in Scripture that Jesus said, I am the light, and those who follow me walk in the light. So it is only a shadow, because Jesus is the light, and as we walk in that light, Christ is with us. And the perfect love of Christ in his presence dispels all our fears. I will fear no evil. And since Jesus is with me, I don't need to be afraid, because he has conquered death and he has overcome the troubles of this world brought about by the curse. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The rod and the staff, they're tools of the shepherd to protect and to keep the flock safe. The rod is used, can be thrown, or it can be used to strike, and the staff is used to guide and to even bring back into line any sheep who wandered away. The word comfort comes from two Latin words that mean strength through companionship. We find comfort because Jesus is with us, and we receive strength from that relationship. Exodus 15:2 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. David continues to bless us further as he writes, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I must admit, I've never really fully understood this part of the psalm. It always seemed kind of odd to me. We think of enemies as people who hate us, people we don't get along with, and most of us probably don't have any enemies. We might have people we don't like a lot, or there might be some, but would we call them enemies? It just seems so harsh. Scripture tells us to live in harmony with everyone, so we're not supposed to have enemies, at least as far as we can control. But as I prayed about this passage, God connected it to Ephesians 6:12, which says, "We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies," meaning people, "but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Our enemies are people. Our enemies are Satan and his minions, his attacks against us. Our enemy's favorite attack is to drop thoughts in your head. You can't control what pops into your head. You can only control how long it stays. So our enemy likes to drop thoughts in your head. Maybe you've heard some of these. "I'm not enough. No one loves me. God is disappointed in me. I'm a failure. I'm a fraud." Whatever those things are that the enemy drops in, those are our enemy's attacks. So in the very presence of our enemy and his tactics, Jesus sits us down at his table to feed. Now, when we talk about Christ's table, we're talking about communion. So in the midst of my wrong thoughts, in the midst of the enemies coming against me who are surrounding around me, my Jesus sits me down at a table and reminds me of who I am. Because of the cross, I am forgiven. I am righteous before God. I am redeemed, and I belong to God. In the presence of my enemies, God reminds me of who I am, and my identity is beloved child of God. These truths destroy the enemy's lies every single time. And this is what the Good Shepherd does. He laid down his life so that I would be free, and then he reminds me that I am free because he laid down his life. And then to add a layer of protection, he anoints my head with oil. Shepherds would pour oil over the face of the sheep to protect them from irritating little gnats that bite at them. Think of the enemy's attacks as irritating little gnats. And so we're coated and soothed with oil. Throughout Scripture, oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Jesus pours out his Spirit onto us, and the Spirit guides us into truth. And that truth sets us free, and we are set free from our enemy's lies. No wonder David proclaims, "My cup overflows." He understood, and he hadn't even met Jesus. David is using this expression to help us understand the extravagant and overflowing nature of the Good Shepherd's presence, provision, protection, and power. David concludes this beautiful imagery saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I love how the New Living Translation puts it. "Your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life." It's not just that it comes along following behind us, but that God is pursuing you with goodness and his love. It's a little more aggressive. Our Good Shepherd is ours for life. and his love displayed on the cross. His goodness and mercy, ours forever. Our lives are so blessed. My life is so blessed I can hardly stand. Do not resist the shepherd's care. Don't get caught up doing it all yourself. Don't resist the shepherd's love for you. And don't stray away from his guidance. But instead, embrace his love and seek to know him more, that you might be one with him as he is one with the Father. Now, if any of you are Bible geeks, I'm just going to send you to Ezekiel 34, which prophesied all this amazing stuff about Jesus the Good Shepherd. It'll blow your mind. I'm just putting it there. I could have made the sermon a lot longer if I included it in, but. Let us be the witnesses of these things. Let us show the story of God's love in our living. Let us be light in the darkness.